We're talking about today tongues as the initial evidence of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Say it with me, tongues. The initial evidence of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Baptism in the person and power of the Holy Spirit is real. It's for today, thank God. And it's for all those that are born again. And there are many evidences that take place when somebody is filled with the Holy Ghost. For example, when I was baptized in the Holy Ghost, I developed a great hunger for the Word of God like I never had before in my life. My eyes opened up and I saw things, you know, for the first time the way God saw them. You know, I dropped things that I was involved in and took upon things that I needed to be involved in, things like that. But when it comes to how can you tell when somebody's baptized in the Holy Ghost, they will receive this ability to speak in a language that they never learned. It's supernatural. Now, I want to say this to you because when we're talking about the things of the Spirit, we are not cessationists. Can I say amen?
Amen.
Can I have a better amen than that?
Amen.
In other words, these things have not passed away. You don't believe that baptism and the gifts of the Spirit have passed away. But there are a lot of people that aren't necessarily cessationists. They just don't really get all excited about that. They kind of tolerate these things. They would call themselves continuationists, but do they actively pursue these things? Do they value these things? And then there's a third group that is coming alive in this last day. They'll be part of the greatest awakening this country has ever had. And it will go all over the earth and not just in this country or region. And this is what I call the celebrationists. You celebrate the person of the Holy Spirit. You celebrate the baptism in the Holy Spirit. You celebrate the gifts of the Spirit. And you celebrate tongues. Now, the opposite of that are the people who have denigrated these things for years. To celebrate means to acknowledge and appreciate the significance or importance of something. To denigrate something means to cast aspersions on it, put it down, to treat it as insignificant, to deny the importance or validity of something. And that's what's happened in our culture. Denigration instead of celebration. Well, I want you to know I'm not here to denigrate the things of the Spirit. I'm here to celebrate the things of the Spirit. And don't let somebody get around you with a religious spirit and let that happen. If they want to walk down that path, let them do that. We believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's about time the Holy Spirit got His due in this nation again.
Amen.
Can I have an amen? So we don't denigrate what He does. We celebrate it. Tongues is the supernatural ability to speak in a language, heavenly and occasionally sometimes earthly, that was never learned. Tongues is a vocal miracle every time you do it. So I say, I never see any miracles. If you're spirit-filled and you speak in tongues, you see miracles all the time. You just forgot what you were doing. It's supernatural. Say it, it's supernatural. It's the supernatural ability to pray or speak in a language you did not learn. And it's a function of the supernatural. And therefore, it is a vocal miracle. Sometimes you can just be by yourself praying the Holy Ghost. And what will happen is a new and fresh consciousness of the reality of God and the things of God will come upon you. There's nothing like that. What's happening at the moment is you're experiencing the miraculous. I'm telling you that charismatic and Pentecostal people are people of miracles. I said you're people of miracles. You're people of the miraculous and you have nothing to be ashamed of. We need this more than ever. Amen. Now, you don't have to speak in tongues to be saved. That is an erroneous teaching. But you have to be saved to speak in tongues. The baptism in the Holy Ghost in tongues is for the believer. Smile at somebody and say, I'm one of them. Say, I am a believer. What's interesting is that now even medical science backs up what we have known for a long time. It's supernatural. And it even is in emphatically supported by multiple. This video will show you and talk to you about one study, but there are multiple studies all saying the same thing. Go ahead and run this. Now, neuroscience have proven that when someone speaks in tongues, the frontal lobe of the brain is not active. That's your language, and that's your speech center. What does that tell you? It tells you tongues doesn't come from the brain. It doesn't come from the mind. It comes from the Spirit. Eventually, science always catches up with the Bible. Give it time. Paul said, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, and I will pray also with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit, and I will also sing with my understanding. Look at somebody and say, pray in the Holy Ghost. And pray in English. In other words, you don't do one or the other, you do both. And for you charismatics, you charismaniacs out there, you can sing in the Spirit just like you can pray in the Spirit. And God doesn't care if you're out of tune. God has a supernatural box that when something sounds horrible, it goes through this box. When a believer's singing, it sounds pretty to God on the other end. So there's no excuse. I like to tell you that you sound better when you sing in the Spirit, but if you're a frog when you sing in English, you probably sound like a frog when you sing in the Spirit. But you are getting the benefit of singing in the Spirit. Tongues neither comes from the mind or emotions, and God does not take hold of your tongue, possess you, and make it flap to make it sound. It was a cooperation and a yielding to His Spirit that causes this to happen. There's a pattern in the Word of God regarding the baptism of the Holy Spirit and this evidence. And you'll hear some charismatics say, well, you know, when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, you may receive a plethora of gifts. Well, it is a gateway to the gifts, but the scriptural record speaks of one particular thing that happens over and over again when you receive Spirit baptism. And what is that thing? The speaking in other tongues. You'll find this in Acts chapter 2 that we read last week. They spoke in tongues when the Spirit of God came upon them and gave them utterance. In Acts chapter 9, we see how Paul has hands laid on him. He's physically healed and baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then he says what this gentleman just basically quoted. He says, I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. In Acts chapter 10, the Gentiles have the Holy Spirit come on them. And here's what the Jewish believers said. They've received the same thing we have because we heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. To the Jewish believers who were Spirit-filled, who probably all were in the upper room at the time in Acts chapter 2, their conclusion is, we know they got the same thing because they were speaking in tongues and praising God. That's the Bible record. In Acts chapter 19, the Ephesian believers were receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit at the hands of Paul the apostle, and they spoke in tongues and they prophesied. But what you see in common with every one of these stories? The biblical record shows, say the record shows. Look at somebody and smile and say, let the record show. The record shows that when somebody gets baptized in the Holy Spirit, they speak in tongues. They now have the supernatural ability to speak in a language they did not learn. This is vital because it's the Word of God that needs to form your doctrine, not some denominational handbook. Can I have an amen? Amen. Brother Osteen, after receiving the Holy Ghost and leading thousands into the Holy Ghost, his church put him on trial down in Baytown, Texas. And they said, you know what? We don't believe in this healing stuff. We don't believe the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We don't believe that tongues is for today. It's not in our denominational handbook. And John Osteen lifted up his Bible and said, but it is in this book. Come on, say it. It is in this book. And because it is in Acts 2, it's referred to in Acts 8, it's in 9 and 10 and 19, you need to conform your thinking to what this book says, not your upbringing, not some denominational handbook. This is too important. To have life change and transformation in the year of the change, you've got to look through life and ministry through this lens of the charismatic lens to understand the baptism is real and tongues is real, and you got nothing to be ashamed about. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation, soundness to them that believe, and the teaching of the Spirit of God and His gifts are part of the gospel. You want to say, I'm not ashamed. How did they know that the Gentiles received the Holy Spirit? The Word says they spoke in tongues and they praised God. That's how they knew. And if that's how they knew, guess how we know? That's how we know. Now, why people resist Tongues. There's a plethora of reasons for that. But before I get into that, I want to make sure you understand that there are really two different types of the application of this ability. One is the public use with interpretation, a public tongue in a service like this, a prayer meeting, whatever the case may be, is interpreted in English so that our minds are edified as well as our spirits are edified. But we're talking today specifically about the personal use of tongues or your prayer language. And you can just consider this today a seminar on tongues. Amen. Get all your Baptist and Church of Christ friends around you this week at work and say, guess what I got Sunday? I got a seminar on tongues. And then come back and report to me how their faces look when you say that. Amen. Say it with me, a seminar on tongues. It's that important. And I don't think giving a couple of services to honor the ministry of the Holy Ghost is too much to ask in 2025. Can I have an amen? We need him. So I'm specifically talking about not the public use of tongues with interpretation, because when Paul says do all speak in tongues, that's what he was referring to. That's the context of that teaching, not about the baptism. I just showed you the Bible record, shows you what happens when you receive the Holy Ghost. It's tongues. There's a tongues for the corporate setting with interpretation, and Paul teaches that that equals prophecy. That's another seminar. Can I have an amen? All right. But today it's about your personal use and how important that is. Why are people resistant to tongues? Well, obviously there is a knee-jerk reaction to this. There is a controversy to this in the Western church. There's just this innate resistance to receiving what God calls a gift. Can I have an amen? There's a charismatic abuse that's out there. And some people, that's all they hear about is the nonsense. And it makes them resistant to this. And I have to say to you, and the reason 1 Corinthians is written, 12, 13, and 14, is Paul's correction on abuse of charismata. It's not new. So why wouldn't you have abuse of these things in the modern world if they had them in the first century church? You don't throw these things out. Paul says, I'm not going to throw these things out. I am going to what? Bring due correction. Can I have a better amen than that? But some folks, because of what they have seen, and there's some pretty crazy people out there. I mean, I've seen them. Some of you have some in your family like that. But you don't throw the charismatic baby out with the bathwater. You don't base what you believe based on what other people do or don't do. It's got to be solely based on what did God say. Number two, bias. Some people would call us unenlightened and uneducated people, and we just, you know, going down this road because we're just kind of just a little bit ignorant. You won't find me opposing education. In fact, I'm one of the most pro-education pastors you'll ever run into. I will tell you this, the two most transformational things you'll ever do in your life is one, accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and two, pursue education, whatever God has for you to do. Whether it's an associate's degree or just classes that you take or some degree program. But I will tell you this, you know, I have an earned doctorate in ministry and an earned doctorate, an earned PhD. I am not ignorant. And I've never been more excited about tongues in my entire life. There is nothing that is mutually exclusive about education, having some base of knowledge, and flowing the Holy Ghost. Paul, it is said, had up to 3 or 4 PhD level education traits and spoke in 6 languages. That doesn't sound like an ignorant man to me. But there are people even in this town that look at you and find out you go to one of them churches, and there's an automatic bias, and some folks don't want to be treated that way. They don't find it socially acceptable to be with you. But look at somebody and say, but to know me is to love me. I just don't get that. But there's a knee-jerk bias to this. This church years ago intervened. Pastor Reed and Jerry intervened in a couple's marriage. And I mean, they were headed straight for divorce court. And they loved them, and this church loved them back. And they got back together. Next thing you know, they walk out the doors and leave. And, you know, I haven't always been as wise as I am now. And he was looking at a huge promotion in his company. And I called him one day. And I said, would you tell me the compelling vision that Jesus gave you that led you to leave the church that basically had helped you and assisted you and stood with you? And it got real quiet. And these were his exact words. Art, you ask hard questions. But I never got an answer. And the answer was, y'all were not socially acceptable enough because of this charismatic bias, amen, to advance the personal goals, amen, and go down a path we want to go down. So we got to find some folks that are more socially acceptable. You know what? I'd rather have Holy Ghost power than social acceptance any day of the week. Are you here today? I said, are you here today? Glory to God. You don't have to be accepted by everybody. But there is a natural bias against these things. And all the Holy Ghost ever wants to do is help people. I said, all he ever wants to do is help people. There's a plethora of unscriptural teaching about tongues. Like, for example, tongues, that's passed away with the early church. They use scriptures like 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 10. Love never fails, it never fades or ends, but as for prophecies, they'll pass away, or for tongues, they'll cease. As for the gift of special knowledge, it'll pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, for our knowledge is fragmentary and incomplete. But when that which is complete and perfect comes, that which is incomplete and partial will pass away. And they say that the word coming is the perfect, so therefore things have passed away. The irony is, it is the word in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 that Paul talks about correcting, not to pass these away, but because they need to be used. The same context they use to justify these things that passed away. Paul spends three whole chapters dealing with these truths. No. Thank God we have the word. But it's not this coming that is the perfect. It's the coming of the living word that is the perfect. And then these things will pass away. Somebody asked Brother Osteen one time, Brother Osteen, how come Jesus never spoke in tongues as far as the scripture goes? And Brother Osteen goes, there wasn't a language he didn't know. But the reality is, you don't know that. Jesus being the firstborn from the dead, amen? Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? He's our model and our example in everything. There are people that teach the tongues is of the devil. Can I see the hands of everybody that you can remember before you got saved? Raise your hand up high. Some of you can't remember when you weren't saved. You came out being saved like John the Baptist, I guess, amen. But you can remember, did any of you speak in tongues while you were serving the devil? Anyone at all? Again, a knee-jerk teaching and reaction. And the problem with this one is it borders on blasphemy. To attribute to the devil the work of the Holy Spirit by definition is blasphemy. If you don't understand something, just keep your mouth off of it. Turn to somebody and smile and say, if you don't understand it, keep your mouth shut. There are lots of things we don't understand, and it's the height of ignorance. And this country is in the apex of ignorance right now. Everybody talking about everything they know nothing about. It's called social media. Another lie is that, tongues is just for the time of spirit baptism and on special anointed goosebump times. Those of you who raised classical Pentecostal churches, even if that wasn't taught, that was implied, you received the Holy Ghost at baptism, but you really weren't taught to use it regularly in your life. No, it's a gift to be used all the days of your life. Hallelujah. No lies that tongues are just an emotional or histrionic episode. No, it has nothing to do with your emotions. Although your emotions can be affected by spiritual things, this has nothing to do with your emotions. It's a center of the spirit man. Others would say that tongues is just earthly languages so the nations of the world can hear the gospel. No, but just a form for preaching. And even though that does happen, like on the day of Pentecost, the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, and some people teach and believe it's more of a miracle of hearing or just as much a miracle of hearing as it is of speaking in Acts chapter 2. And then Brother Barclay has some wonderful stories about how God used him to speak in a native tongue of somebody that was in bondage to set them free. He didn't know their language, but he began to speak in tongues. And God can do anything, can't he, church? Yeah. But the bottom line is, for the most part, they're heavenly languages that you didn't learn. Are you here? And has nothing to do with the preaching of the gospel unless God is using spiritual gifts to get a hold of somebody's attention. He means that you would preach this gospel in your language. This gospel must be preached. Amen. That's why you have translators who are willing to die at the stake like Tyndale to get the gospel in our language. Are you here today? It's critical. And thank God there are multiple organizations around the world doing that. And I'm telling you what, we're getting to a place where it's coming together, it's gelling together. Jesus is coming back soon. Hallelujah. Because this gospel is being preached and published throughout the world. Some folks are resistant because of fear and intimidation. And yet you have nothing to be afraid of. Well, somebody prays for me, I might just get a demon. You're not going to get a demon when you ask for the Spirit of God. God doesn't do the switcheroo. Ask for bread and he gives you a stone. You know, ask for a fish, he gives you something that's deadly to you. That's not how this works. And by the way, I've always been intrigued about people who say, I'm afraid of those things. You're the same person that will watch every episode of Friday the 13th, every Halloween movie, repeatedly. You watch every movie called Saw, which I can't even stand the name, let alone the movies. You watch all these horror movies, but the Holy Ghost makes you afraid. There's a therapy for that. He's nothing to be afraid of. He wants to do nothing but bless your life. This ability to speak in tongues is nothing but a blessing to your life. Some folks are concerned with ridicule from others. And it might come. I remember when I got born again, spirit-filled, I had a good friend that worked for my mom, and we were good friends, would hang out, you know, and had a lot in common in terms of, you know, life at that time. But I never forget when I explained to this person what God had done in my life, and I'm going down a certain path, and the bottom line is, you know, I don't believe you're going to follow me at this point. Maybe one day she will follow God and walk this path out. But she looks at my brother, James, sarcastically. He says, art seen the light. You better believe I saw the light, amen. And it was real, and it was powerful, and it was life-changing. But there is ridicule that comes with these things. Yea, and all those who live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Then this young lady, despite me, went off, got pregnant, had somebody mom knew take her to Granite City, Illinois for an abortion. I'm telling you, God gives us opportunities to be impacted. If they ridicule this message, they're the ones that lose out. Don't you back off because somebody might ridicule you. Amen? If they're not already making fun of you, you're not doing your job. You go to what church? I was joking with Tyler this week. For a long time, we got mail from a ministry that this church supports. It's actually in town here. And they would send our mail to Hope Harbor Baptist Church. Didn't bother me any, but I'm pretty sure it bothers some Baptists in town. Everybody said, God bless the Baptists. Come on, shout, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. The biggest reason people are resistant to it is just a matter of plain ignorance. Now, don't equate ignorance with stupidity. That's not the same thing. It's just a lack of knowledge. God's word says my people are what? Destroyed. Not because they're stupid, but because of what? a lack of knowledge, which means messages on the Holy Ghost and tongues are all that much more important. So all of us collectively can learn more by revelation why this is so important and what the real key to this particular morning is. Why tongues is so important? Why would God choose tongues? What does tongues actually do for us as people of God? Look at somebody and smile and say, I want the rest of the seminar, bless God. Amen. Yeah. Come on, tell somebody, my spirit is open. I am teachable. I am pliable. I am correctable. And even in putting this message together, God is still showing me things about this. I have been excited about studying and applying the things of the Spirit to my life, all my adult life, and I still am so excited about the reality of the Holy Ghost and His gifts. Before I do that, though, let me just remind you about the proper use of tongues. You can speak in tongues in a public worship service all you want to, as long as it's quietly and to yourself. There's never a worship service that goes by that I don't speak in tongues. But it's not for the public. It's not for the public service. When there is a public tongue, it needs to be interpreted either by the speaker or someone else in that church setting. That's all I really want to say about that right now, but say it would be an audible tongue in a church service where you have mixed people, believers, unbelievers, spirit-filled, non-spirit-filled, it should be interpreted. You should be able to pray in the Holy Ghost at the time of your spirit baptism. In your home, in an altar, in a church, wherever, we see the liberty is there. And can I give you a tip, those who have recently been prayed for or yet to be prayed for, or you've yet to receive from the Lord, don't be wimpish about speaking your prayer language. Be bold when you receive. You have that right and permission. And the more you hear your own ears, you know, hearing what the Spirit of God is praying, the more real it's going to be to you. And it'll just move your mouth a little bit, a little bit of sound coming out, that's not going to help you. So look at somebody and smile and say, be bold. At that moment, be bold. Yes, you need to be self-controlled from that point on in terms of a worship service, but at that moment, you need to be bold. You can pray in the Holy Ghost at a prayer gathering of the local church. That's a great opportunity for you to pray in the Holy Ghost like you never prayed before. Liberty is there. But the time you're going to spend the most time praying in the Holy Ghost is in your own private devotions. That's the last point here, your personal devotions. It is primarily a devotional gift, a spiritual growth gift for you and for me. So the scriptures, I just combine scriptural teaching decently in an order into those statements. But the bottom line is, on your own, in your car, in your house, you should be praying like you never prayed before in the Holy Ghost. Do you know I have a staff member that their primary job is to go around praying in tongues in this building? And she cleans. But I'm as serious as I can be. But her primary call is what? Pray in tongues over this ministry. And you benefit from that. You never know when she stops at a certain seat in here while there's nobody in here and she stops and prays in the Holy Ghost and she's interceding for you. Everybody give her a big hand clap. We thank God for Barb. But it's important to understand this, that the problem is not, do we even believe these things are real? I think that most people do in a spirit like, you know, spiritual church like ours. But are you practicing these things like you should? Are you praying in the Holy Ghost like you should? Regularly, profusely, consistently. That's the key. So look at somebody and say, I want to know why tongues are so important. Amen. Number one, there are only 13 of these. So if I get out of order, just stop me. Amen. What was for number five? What was number eight? Tongues is the will of God, referring to the concept phrase speaking of tongues in the singular. It's God's will. Scripture proves that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a command. Say it's a command. It's a command. Say it's a command. It's a command. It's a gift. It's a promise. And we showed you from Scripture how the initial physical evidence is tongues. So therefore, if the baptism of the Holy Spirit is God's will, tongues is also God's will. Shout it out. Tongues. God's will. Say it. Tongues. God's will. Is there anybody here that wants to line up their life with God's will? Is there anybody in here who has arrived already? No. And it doesn't make you better than anybody. But it does make you more obedient in this particular area than some. You will often hear people say salvation is God's will. Do you believe that? They'll even say baptism in the Holy Spirit is God's will. But get the conviction that tongues is God's will. Number two. Tongues is the example of the Apostle Paul. What a champion of faith. How many know Paul knew a few things about the charismatic lens? As an example, he said, I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all, 1 Corinthians 14:18. You believe that today? A lot of people hold up Paul as just their champion of theology, champion of salvation. And they'll quote the Pauline epistles, and with great fervor they'll teach on them. Then when it comes to his example on charismata, glossolalia, which is the form we use, the concept of speaking in tongues, that's what it's known as. They'll get to that point and say, yeah, but I want to follow him in that. You need to follow him as he follows Christ. And that was part of what you should be following. After all, he is, amen, the apostle who wrote 2/3 of what? Number three, tongues fulfills prophecy. Isaiah 28:11-12, with stammering lips I'll speak to my people. Joel spoke of the outpouring, whereon your sons and daughters, he will pour out his spirit. Acts 1, Jesus said, you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days hence. And then over in Mark 16, these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall what? They will what? Everybody say prophecy fulfilled. It'd be good for some of you to look at the scripture of Mark 16. And some of you may have a note in your Bible that talks about some older manuscripts that don't include this section, but there are many older manuscripts since this has been translated, and many that have been found since that document that this is consistent with what Mark would have received, amen, and his gospel. And what does this say? Mark 16. Verse 15, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who what? Believe. In my name, they will what? Drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. When they place their hands on sick people, they will get well. Here's a great outline for a sub-series, amen, under the charismatic lens.
All right. Yeah.
Amen. You have authority over darkness. Amen. But as a believer, you have access to this supernatural ability to pray in a language that you never learned. Now, once again, I'll have to say this, because if you don't qualify things today, people will go out and say, well, you know that Hope Harbor Church is into handling snakes. Just the two-legged kind. Just like Paul, with a viper latched onto his hand, he shook it off. That's what you can do, amen. Deadly poison does not refer to you tempting God. If you do ingest something that is adverse to you, you can believe God to protect you, especially when you're in his will. Can I have an amen? But understand, he said that they would speak in new tongues. So look what you have. You have Jesus, Isaiah, you have, you know, shadows of this in Ezekiel's teaching and preaching and prophecy. You see this out of the mouth of the apostle. You see this in the gospel of Mark. You see a consistency. Let every word be established by two or three witnesses. The Bible very plainly teaches how important this actually is. And I would say this, that there are just this legions, armies of spirit-filled believers in this country that really don't use their prayer language like they should be doing. That's really the focus of today. Where are we at? Number four, tongues like the word builds your faith. Jude 20, beloved, build yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Watch this. There are only two things you can do that will actually build your faith. I know you hear people say that being tried and being persecuted and going through hardship and suffering builds your faith. No, that builds perseverance. There are only two things in the Word of God that will tell you that will build your faith. You and I need more faith than ever. One is faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The second is what? Pray in the Holy Ghost. Only two. Why would any believer not want both of them working in their life? Look at somebody and say, 1-2 punch. Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. No, instead of that, have what? One hand tied behind your back. Yeah, you should be into the Word. You should be a Word person, but you should also be a person of the Spirit of God. Two ways to grow your faith: pray in the Spirit and get into the Word of God. And I want to challenge you, get into the Word like you never have before and pray in the Spirit like you never have before. Amen. Are you here today? Number five, tongues edifies the believer. 1 Corinthians 14:4. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. What does that mean? It builds you up spiritually. It actually charges your spiritual battery. Does anybody ever here get tired? Wore out. You're doing what God's called you to do, but you could use a little pick-me-up. Amen? And I'm not talking about Red Bull. Nothing will energize you faster than a protracted period of praying in the Holy Ghost when you get to that place where you're just tired, you can hardly even lift a finger. And you know, at those moments, listen carefully, you may not have much hunger, thirst, or motivation. You may not feel like doing it. That's when you need to do it the most. And if you do it, it will change everything in your life. You'll find yourself motivated again. You'll find yourself enthralled by the things of God. Instead of just yielding to you, I just don't feel like reading, don't feel like praying, don't feel like this. Listen, you need to be delivered from your feelings. Amen. Amen. Number five. Tongues causes the manifestation of God's glory in your life. As you speak in tongues, you will see a bump in His presence, His power, and His goodness in your life. When Christians understand that and apply that, their expectation begins to get great because they know time and time again God is showing up. Anybody here enjoy His presence? His power and His goodness. His glory is primed as you pray in the Holy Ghost. And I'm not just talking about when you're together here. I'm talking about in your own time, in your own life, you have the ability to walk in a greater level of the glory of God anytime you want to. Amen? Now, it's 12:06. What are you hungry more for? Your pot roast or the things of God? Listen, I'm just going to say it like this. Pentecostals and Baptists know how to eat. They got the eating part down. Do you have how many chickens have given their lives for the gospel? Amen? And look, potluck lines, that's a great way to test Mark 16 out. If you eat any deadly thing. I remember over at Hopkinsville, there were some people, and I found out what they brought. I went to the other side of the table. So I'm going to say about that. Yeah. Well, people wouldn't get sick at a church potluck. Why do you call it a potluck? That's why. Bring a pot, amen, and you hope that you're lucky, amen. Number six.
Seven.
How about that? With tongues, you can tap the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians 14:2 say, when you pray in the Spirit, you pray mysteries, but there are times when you don't know what to do, where to go, where to find something. Have you ever lost something and the Holy Ghost showed you where it was?
Yes.
Is he faithful to do that?
Yes.
This amplifies that in your life. You have the ability to know things you couldn't know. The Bible tells us if we lack wisdom, ask God and he gives it to us liberally. One of the ways that you do that is praying in the Holy Ghost. And the wisdom of God begins to bubble up on the inside of you. You could pray about a problem, then go to bed, and a couple of days later, wake up with the answer. How does that happen? Because the answer is already in you by the Spirit of God. It just has to travel up to where? To your consciousness or to your mind. But it's already there for you and for me, thank God. Did you know that praying in the Holy Ghost raises a believer's IQ? We get smarter. I hear some doubt over here. I don't know which direction it's going or why, but okay. Come on, say it. Speaking in tongues. Look at somebody and smile. Speaking in tongues will elevate your IQ. And darling, you could use some elevation. People just don't understand the supernatural nature of this and what it does. In other words, when God's constantly dropping wisdom into your heart, of course you're going to be smarter. Amen?
Amen.
What number am I on, church?
Eight.
Tongues produces peace in the heart of the believer. It activates life and shalom. Is that nine? Okay. I can see that some of y'all need some IQ on numbering like me. I have found out that one of the great things about praying in tongues was the peace that it brought. Peace of mind, peace of heart, joy, the victory, sense of God being with you and among you, amen. But it works life in you. It works peace. Peace is nothing missing, nothing broken, a general welfare in your life. Say it, shalom. Look at somebody say, Shabbat shalom. You have to understand that's not just a greeting, but a theological foundational principle, our heritage. And what happens is tongues actually work shalom in your life. Now, science finally called up and told us that you don't pray in tongues from the brain. So when a, you know, evangelical cynic calls you brainless, they're not far from the case there. It's not coming from here. It's coming from here. But the Spirit of God is talking to me about this, and science is about to uncover even more revelation about the power of tongues. They're going to show you how through tongues it actually, you know, replenishes things like serotonin levels in your brain. It actually produces, amen, an ability of your body to fight infection as you pray in the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God brings life. The Spirit of God, amen? His word is what? Spirit and life. Jesus and the Spirit are one. When you pray in the Holy Ghost, you're praying life into yourself. Is there anybody that could use something fixed in their life? Anything not working in your body? Anything not working right in your mind? In your emotions? Yeah, the cynic just wants to write this off as those charismatic crazies without knowing what they're missing. Can God answer English prayer and get healing? Yes, but I am telling you, the very fact that the Spirit of God is praying through you, amen, He's working healing and restoration in your body. Now, what I just told you, you're about to see multiple studies come out verifying not just that it is the frontal lobe that's not affected by this, but that God actually does something to restore through the speaking of tongues. Why wait for the study when we already have the Word of God? You got something broken? You can say, well, you know, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Or you can say, well, whatever the Lord's will is. I hope He says yes. I hope He says yes. What I really need is just a prayer chain to gather around me and pray in English. Or you can take the bull by the horns and pray in the Holy Ghost. Say, Father, I am praying over this infection right now in Jesus' name. And I'm not going to stop praying in the Spirit until I get breakthrough over this particular thing. I fully expect that thing to disappear. Different mindset. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Tongues prayer gets results. That's the next point. Why? Because everything you pray in tongues lines up with the Word. Everything you pray in tongues reflects the will of God. Everything you pray in tongues comes to pass. Smile at somebody and tell them everything. Likewise, the Spirit helps us, Romans 8, in our weakness. We do not know how to pray for one as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. That scripture, God working all things together for good, is based on the intercession of the Spirit of God. It's based on tongue talking. Through tongue talking, God brings, amen, all those things to the good. And that's ripped out of its context. Why? Because of a bias against the Spirit-filled life and practice. How does God work all things to the good? Tongues. How does God work all things to the good? Do you really want to see all things work to the good? We have to do our part of what that scripture says and pray in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Are you still here?
Yes.
How many have I given you? Number 10. You have time? You're going to love this one. Tongues subjects the mouth. Look at somebody in response and say, I'm so glad I stayed for this. I just, you know, it's impossible to lie. Everybody say lie. Cuss. Slander. Gossip. Complain. Gripe. Bellyache. And speak in tongues at the same time. So when you feel like you're going to what? Lie, cuss, slander, gossip, complain, amen, bellyache, speak in tongues, and you'll shut all that down. Do you know that in the Hebrew community, they have a concept, the Shan, I believe it's called Hara. And they consider this to be one of the worst sins you can commit as a member of that community. What would it be? Drug running, adultery, serial fornication, drug use, what would it be? It literally means speaking negatively about others. They consider that to be one of the worst sins you can commit. Now, the New Testament deals with this, right? But I'm not sure a lot of believers take this as seriously as they should. Because they say that when you do that, you are separating people from people. And you are separating yourself from communion with God. You don't realize this, but your mouth is blocking you from all that God has. It is a form of murder. Pastor, what are they murdering? You're murdering somebody's reputation. You are a verbal murderer. And you need something to block that until you get the discipline down. I've often said this. If you're not careful, take two believers. One's a baby believer. One's an older believer, but they got their bee in the bottom. Bee in the bottom. They got something up their craw. And they begin to speak negatively about their minister or ministry or their home church or whatever the case may be. And that person now can no longer receive because you just committed verbal murder on that person's reputation. We do not take this stuff seriously enough. In other words, if you're having a conversation with somebody, you should not reduce that person you're talking about in that person's ears. You should elevate their respect in their ears. That's what a born-again child of God does. But I'm telling you, people have been separated from preachers and churches, amen, and businesses and ideas and concepts and people, amen, doctors and physicians and hospitals because of our mouth. Mm-hmm. One of the worst things we can actually do is see we just let it fly. That's why Mom always used to tell you, you can't say anything good. And now with social media, my church family, this thing is totally out of hand. We have so-called Christian counselors telling hurt Christians, vent, get everybody, pull everybody in, spread that bitter root, talk it out. And all you're doing is defiling many. What you're doing is now you are group murdering somebody's reputation. And do you know what the penalty for murder is? Yeah, we need something supernatural to do what? To rein in this mouth. Amen. Say, thank God for tongues. When you're tempted to what? Gossip, lie, cuss, murmur, complain, bellyache, speak in tongues and your mouth will come out of subjection. You can also do this with confession of the word and praise coming out of your mouth. And James said that you cannot tear people up with your mouth and praise your God at the same time. You do one or the other. They consider that to be one of the worst sins committed. And most Christians just give themselves license to do this. It'd be better for you never to post again on social media. It'd be better for you to get off of social media than be involved in the verbal murder of other people's reputations. Now, most of you have been around long enough to know I don't have a lot of pet peeves. None that I'm going to tell you about today. But I'll tell you one that it is. You have somebody that's really involved in something not all that scriptural and right. And all these people who have no firsthand knowledge jumping on there and say, I can't believe how you were treated. Poor, pitiful you. Or praising something that's not praiseworthy. In total and complete ignorance. Make sure that you don't jump on the bandwagon of torpedoing somebody's reputation and violating this. Instead, preach the word. Can I have an amen? Amen? Pray in the spirit. Glory to God. I better get going. I only have another hour and a half here. I got to go. What number am I on? Tongues will give you boldness to act. The Pharisees noted that Peter and John and the disciples had been with Jesus because of their boldness at the Temple Gate Beautiful. You know, to be baptized in the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues is to be with Jesus. Every time you speak in tongues, guess who you're with? You're with Him. Glory to God. Along with that line, tongues gets results. Glory to God. We see this in the case of the Temple Gate Beautiful beggar being healed. Tongues releases the power of the Holy Spirit in your life and through your life. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto you. Right. What do you say? Rise and be healed. And the man jumped up, amen, leaping and praising God. What have these men been doing? Praying in the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, boldness and the goods to go with it. Glory to God. Now, how many do you have? Y'all lean in for just a moment, okay? The numbers aren't anointed. Praise the Lord. Tongues makes us sensitive to His voice. You will never be more sensitive to His voice than when you are praying in the Holy Ghost. To reach out, to move in a certain direction for protection. We'll talk more about the connection between hearing God and your personal protection and messages to come. But protection, you know, ability to make decisions all go with this particular concept. Amen. Anybody here ever need to hear His voice about something? Anybody here ever need direction? What you're doing is you're priming your direction pump when you're praying in the Holy Ghost. Now what can happen is God can actually give you, amen, like wisdom, drop in that direction and correction, whatever it is, because you prayed in the Holy Ghost. But here's what I have found, that you will automatically go down paths without even thinking about it because you've been praying in the Holy Ghost, paths that God has ordained for you. Spiritual cruise control. Amen. Smart cars long before they were invented. Called smart believers. You pray in the Holy Ghost habitually and you will consistently go down the right path. You will go down the right place. You'll be where you're supposed to be. You'll have divine appointments. There's nothing like living this lifestyle. It's exciting. It's like adventures in faith like Brother Jerry Savelle teaches. You never know what God's going to do next in terms of the excitement. You are ready to be used by God. In other words, He can give you the wisdom, whatever is needed, He can give you the direction, He can protect you with the word that He gives you, but you'll find yourself just naturally inclined, following where you're supposed to go, do what you're supposed to do, because you have been priming that pump through praying in the Holy Ghost. Come on, say, thank God.
Thank God.
Come on, say, thank God.
Thank God.
Say, thank God,
thank God
for the Holy Ghost.
Holy Ghost.
I think you ought to give Him a hand clap and thank Him. Woo! Come on, give Him a big praise and shout. We bless Your holy name, Lord. Thank You, Father God. We bless Your holy name. So how do you cultivate this, Pastor? Well, number one, you got to value it. If you don't value tongues, you're not going to cultivate it. And what you don't value won't come into your life spiritually. You got to celebrate this in terms of its impact. Number two, you need to study it. Don't take my word for it. Go to the Scriptures. Look up the pattern for yourself. See what happens when somebody's baptized in the Holy Ghost. And see what will happen in your life. And number three, use it regularly, profusely, consistently. Your language will grow, but the building blocks of your language will remain the same. Cultivate it and develop it as you use it. And I'm not going to tell you if you don't use it, you will lose it, but you may lose consciousness of what God has for you. It's there. If you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, it's there. But some of y'all, even last week, you looked here instead of here. It's not here. We'll never be here, and science backs that up. It's here. And you step out on the water and just yield to the Holy Ghost, your vocal ability, you'll be amazed what will happen as you use it. If you keep waiting for something to happen here or for God to take a hold of your tongue, that's not going to happen. Listen, if God was going to take hold of your tongue and my tongue, He had done that a long time ago. That's up to you and to me to lasso that thing. Amen? So I want you to stand on your feet today and just bless the Lord with me. Would you do that?